So that free will is always there. And especially in the human form of life, we have the facility to exercise that free will. But because of a lack of a superior process and higher knowledge, most people are unable to use their free will, and they are simply their life goes on as per their circumstances. In other words, according to the karma, the situation they're placed in, that pushes them to act in certain ways. And again, the situations they produce as a result of their previous activities, then again they act in certain ways. But as a marginal living entity, we have that choice to be in Krishna's seva or serving our own senses. We always have that choice. So the process of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that it empowers us to exercise our free will. That's what the process of Krishna consciousness does. It gives us the strength and the ability to exercise our free will to serve Krishna. And that's the power of bhakti. So Krishna consciousness is a voluntary movement. It is not a forced movement, right? And because it's voluntary, we have to choose to serve Krishna. And Krishna does not like to force the living entities to serve Him. And Krishna wants us to use our free will to serve Him. So when we use our free will, that is the perfection of our lives. So using the free will is the perfection of our life. And that is what all Krishna consciousness is about. So the association of devotees, the temple, all the programs, the satsanga is meant to encourage us, to push us to use our free will to serve Krishna. And Krishna wants it to be done voluntarily, and that's where pleasure is. If love is not, cannot be forced, right? You cannot force someone to love you. If it is forced, then that's just trying to get submission out of that person. And like so many governments, some governments in the world, they're ruling in an autocratic way, so they're just trying to force the citizens to comply to their order, to comply to their will. And then people resent that. And after some time there's an uprising. Sooner or later there'll be an uprising, and then they throw over the government, and then somebody else comes to power. So people also don't like to be forced to do something. And people like to do things as per their will. So Krishna knows that, and that is our nature, because that is also Krishna's nature. Krishna's nature is, he likes to be independent, as it is mentioned here. That nothing is independent of Krishna, and Krishna is fully independent. So because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have the tendency to be independent, and we have the tendency to exercise our free will. So as a marginal living entity, if we render service to Krishna, then we are exercising our free will properly. But if we exercise our free will to serve our senses, then because we interact with matter, we fall into more illusion. As it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that the living entities who are exploiting the resources of the material nature, the inferior energy. So the superior living entity, the jiva, is exploiting the resources of this material world. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that because we are trying to enjoy in this world, enjoyment in this world means exploitation of resources. And because we are trying to do that, we get covered over by matter, and we get covered by illusion. And because we get covered by illusion, we become more and more forgetful of Krishna. therefore it is mentioned here that Srila Prabhupada mentioned Dhruva Maharaj is advised here to render service unto the Supreme Form. And by rendering service unto the Supreme Form, service, one renders service to other individual forms. So this week, in my lunch break, I was just walking on the street. I went out for a walk, and one young lady, she approached me, and she said, we are trying to save the Great Barrier Reef. You know, this Adani, they're building that coal mine over there, and they want to build that coal mine. And the Great Barrier Reef is almost destroyed, and whatever is left of it will also be destroyed. So why don't you help us out by signing up for some membership program, some X amount of dollars every month you pay. So I was just trying to explain to her that that if we render service to Krishna, that I was trying to explain to her that the root cause of all problems is greed. And if we address this greed, then all the problems in the world will be solved. So I was trying to explain to her, Krishna consciousness is about purifying the soul, right? And the way that is done is by serving Krishna, by watering the root of the tree. So when we water the root of the tree, then everything else is nourished. In other words, if we render service to Krishna, then most of all the problems in the world will be solved. They'll actually be solved if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was way ahead of his time. If you look, whatever Prabhupada did is way, way ahead of his time. For example, Prabhupada is the one who introduced vegetarianism to the Western world, right? And now it's such a big thing. And Prabhupada was into environmentalism. He proposed varnashram. He proposed simple living, high thinking. And Prabhupada wanted devotees to have all these rural properties where devotees can live in a sustainable way. And Prabhupada wants us to exemplify to the world how to live in a simple way. So, and Prabhupada is way ahead of his time. Even in our temples, like Prabhupada was so ahead that he wanted it to be fully self-sustained, as much as possible. I mean, we cannot be 100%, but as much as possible to be self-sustained. So, this is all there in the philosophy. So if we implement it gradually, we'll see that so many of the world's problems will go away. And even this understanding, we're not the body, we're the soul. Even if we theoretically understand it, even if we don't fully realize it, but we have theoretical understanding, that will reduce so many of the problems of the world. Just by that theoretical understanding. So by rendering service unto Krishna, we are rendering service unto everyone. And this is the point I was trying to explain, but I was not having much luck. It's not easy to understand, and I could understand she also had an agenda to sell me something, and that's where she was coming from. She probably had targets. And the way her whole presentation was very similar to ours, how we sell books. And she taught me, okay, are you concerned about the environment? Yes. Do you think Great Barrier Reef is getting destroyed? Yes. Do you think it's a bad thing? Yes. So, the idea was if you say yes three times, then you might say yes to the membership program. So, very similar to the way we sell books. I was just, as she was going through a spiel, I was just thinking about book distribution. Because on that very same spot, I used to sell books. When she was selling me this membership. And I was thinking about my experiences at that very same spot at Market Square in Geelong. Huh? So the point is, by By rendering service unto Krishna, we are rendering service unto all living entities. So, people have this idea that Manav Seva is Madhava Seva. Right? In India, there's a saying, Manav Seva is Madhava Seva. Meaning, if you serve mankind, you're serving God. But it's the other way around. Madhava Seva is Manav Seva. And if we look at Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, in so many of his pastimes, Srila Prabhupada was explaining this point to so many people. And they were having a really hard time understanding. So people have this misconception that if you serve all living entities, you're serving God. So then a lot of people can't understand why in Krishna consciousness we are not into material welfare work as a movement. No? That as a movement, why we are not so big on that? That we are not into welfare work. But we are into welfare work. And in fact, this Krishna consciousness movement is a welfare movement. But it's a welfare movement that this welfare work is on another level. There's different levels of welfare work. So there's welfare work on the bodily platform, on the bodily level, which is providing food to people, maybe blankets or basic material conveniences. So if there's a calamity, the facilities are sent, material conveniences are sent. For example, food, water, some shelter, medicines. Then there is welfare work on the mental level, where there is mental illness, right? There's so many institutes which are providing mental welfare service. And in fact, mental illness is one of the biggest illnesses in the world now. So there is so much mental welfare work going on. Then there's also intellectual disability, right? So there is intellectual disability welfare work. And in fact, Australia has an entire agency dedicated to disability. So much, then that is welfare. That is basically public welfare. Everybody is contributing through taxes and then that goes to people, those who are disabled. So that is welfare work. But there is a welfare work on another level, which is spiritual welfare work. And people have a very hard time understanding that because of a poor fund of knowledge. Because people think that we are just this body, therefore body, mind and intelligence, therefore the welfare work should be directed towards that. But there is another dimension. There is the soul and above that there is Krishna. So the welfare work of the Hare Krishna movement is to serve Krishna. And serving Krishna means also enlightening people in Krishna consciousness. And that is the welfare work. So the welfare work of the Hare Krishna movement is to remind the forgetful living entities that they are Krishna's servant and they need to render service unto Krishna. So that welfare work takes many shapes and forms. So one form is the Harinams, right? So the chanting of the Maha Mantra on the streets loudly for everyone's benefit, which is very attractive. Then another form is the serving of prasadam. So serving of prasadam, still people can relate to that. So they can see that on that welfare form, people can relate to it. And in fact, that form of welfare, spiritual welfare, is attracting so many grants for this temple, right? The reason the council, the state government, and the people in general are so favorable is because of that prasadam distribution. And because of that prasadam distribution, people take it to be on a material level, but we know that this is on the highest level. By eating prasadam, people are able to connect to Krishna. Their consciousness is being purified. And they're coming, by putting food in their mouth, they're coming closer to Krishna. And in Australia, so much prasadam distribution has happened. Australia is famous for prasadam distribution in the ISKCON world. In New Govardhan, Melbourne, particularly New Govardhan in Melbourne, is a lot of prasadam distribution happening. And because of so much prasadam distribution, people have become very, very favorable and also spiritualized. So these are forms of welfare work which the Krishna consciousness movement is also doing. And then the dissemination of transcendental knowledge, which is happening in the form of public discourses and the distribution of transcendental literature on whether on the streets or in the libraries. Again, there's so many channels to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. There's not only one way, which is on the streets. So all these forms of welfare work are happening. So by doing this welfare work, we are serving all living entities. So as devotees, we need to be we need to have a solid understanding of this and not get discouraged that we are not doing welfare work. We are doing, but our welfare work is on a different level. And by doing this welfare work is going to the root of all the problems. So by going to the root of the problem, our contribution to the world is we are trying to solve all the problems. So for example, if somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, by becoming a devotee, they automatically give up eating meat, right? So meat eating is creating so much, meat eating is one of the leading causes of environmental degradation on this planet.
Violence,
right? So the air is getting polluted, the water is getting polluted, the land is getting polluted. So much suffering is being inflicted on people. There's a health consequence of eating meat, right? So simply by becoming a devotee, one becomes vegetarian, that leads to better health, better for the environment, better for the animals. So it's a win-win situation. So when someone becomes a devotee, they give up intoxication. So intoxication, alcohol, or any other form of intoxication, is again leads to so much social unrest, domestic violence,
child abuse,
or so much crime in this world is happening because of intoxication. When people get drunk, they lose control of the senses and they do stupid things. So that's taken care of. Illicit sex, which is prostitution. So that prostitution again leads to so much crime, so much violence, and so much exploitation occurs because of prostitution. So you know, by practicing Krishna consciousness, that will be reduced to a great degree, even if it doesn't happen immediately. It will have a very big impact on the world. And then gambling. So when one becomes a devotee, one stops gambling, right? So just by chanting Hare Krishna, even for a short period of time, one is able to give up the four sinful activities. And we know gambling again gives rise. Gambling leads to greed, and then it destroys families, destroys societies, and then around gambling, all the other sinful activities happen. So you know, we have the Crown Casino here, and around that, all sinful activities happen, and that's a crime hotspot. It's well known that's a crime hotspot because all these four activities are taking place there. So by dissemination of Krishna consciousness, we can bring about a revolution in this world. So even if people take up to Krishna consciousness fully or partially, it will lead to a huge improvement. So even if people adopt Krishna consciousness fully or partially, the fall of one rank or four ranks, it will lead to a massive, massive difference in this world. And that is Srila Prabhupada's welfare movement, which Srila Prabhupada is encouraging all of us to be part of. So I'll leave it there. Do you have any questions or comments on this section, on this verse of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, my friend.
Thank you for the class. I appreciate that you went through each very highly important step by step. We know that this process today struck me that this is kind of a culmination of the instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. I was wondering what your reaction to this verse within the whole story may be.
So, Madhavi's question is, correct me if I didn't get it right, is what is my realization? Or what is my...
This verse struck me as among all instructions. Mm-hmm. This is what Dhruva Maharaj can do in relation to the Yakshas, to reconcile.
Correct.
With them.
Yeah.
So I was just asking how it struck you.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. I mean, so here, Kuvera is telling Dhruva Maharaj that you don't need to kill the... So the way this struck me is like, Kuvera is telling Dhruva Maharaj, you don't need to kill the Kuveras. They are also a living entity, just like you are. And they are on the transcendental platform. And they are not the cause of your brother's death. And in the same way, and he's saying, in fact, you are not the cause of their death. And it's the time factor which is the cause of all these events. So what struck me is that the time factor, the time brings about the karma, and because of that, all these events are taking place. And on a personal level, what struck me is sometimes things which happen to us, we can tend to blame this person or that person, but we need to go on a higher level and see how all this is being affected by time and probably because of our karma. So yeah, that's what struck me on a personal level. Yes,
Nandamundi, as you said very correctly, we are doing a lot of welfare work, especially now. We remember we had bushfire a few years back.
Yes.
And people appreciated so much. Actually, Bhaktadas told us he took lassi for the people and they appreciated so much.
Yeah.
You are remembering us. You are the only people who are remembering us, otherwise everybody has forgotten.
Yeah.
And we are completely isolated from everybody.
Yeah.
Because of the bushfire. So this con is really doing it. And we have to do more.
That's right, we have to do more. So if there's a material calamity, so as devotees, we don't sit back saying, oh, you know, because of the karma. That's not good. There is no compassion in that. So it could happen to us also. So if there's a material calamity, we can render welfare work within our own means and by our own way, right? So yes, we can distribute prasadam. Prasadam is a great way of rendering welfare work when there is calamity.
Same thing after tsunami.
Yeah.
Welfare work and the earthquake in Ahmedabad. Mm-hmm. We appreciated so much when devotees took their prasadam and
yeah.
provided shelter
yeah.
in Ahmedabad.
In the philosophy of and principles of welfare, there is this one person called Maslow, and he has this, you know, the paradigm of needs, and so, you know, it's argued that, well, without the basic needs of, you know, food, shelter, it doesn't allow someone to then think further of that. So these basic needs have to be met to allow the person to then consider and contemplate God consciousness, higher truth. Because if they're just struggling to meet basic needs, well then they haven't got the capacity or time to really consider so much like that.
That's right, yeah, and that's spot on. If there's no prasadam, then we can also not sit very peacefully, right? So that's spot on. If the basic needs are not met, it becomes very difficult to contemplate Krishna consciousness. And that's true for most of us also, unless we are on the Paramahamsa platform, where they're totally aloof to their material needs. And Srila Prabhupada, that's why he was he proposed Varnashram, because he knew that the basic needs of devotees need to be met in order for them to practice Krishna consciousness. They need to have the right environment to practice Krishna consciousness. So yes, we need shelter, clothing, good food, healthy relationships, and all those things to be able to practice Krishna consciousness. And that's what the job of the leaders are, is to create the environment where devotees can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully, where their material needs are met, and they can practice in a harmonious way. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for bringing that point up. It's a good point. Comments, corrections.
Yeah, the Krishna consciousness is the almost an up very high level social work we can offer to the world. Unless we have connection, unless we connect our relationship with God, the social work, other social work, it just comes in that bottom of the category. Because it just meets the needs of the body, or it is more better than if we can actually connect with the goal, and ultimately it will take everybody out of this suffering condition. So that's how it's social work.
Research indicates that especially with drug addiction, things like that is a result of disconnection too. So, the beauty that Sri Prabhupada has created a society as well, and so with our Krishna consciousness, we're connecting to something, we connect to something higher, we're feeling connected, not disconnected, so therefore that need for substance abuse or mental illnesses, some mental illnesses, then so much because we're connected to something. It's our nature is not to be connected.
That's right. And our nature is to be connected to something larger than ourselves, right? And if we connect to Krishna, then who's the complete whole? And that's the ultimate connection. Yeah, and then all those problems will go away, as you're saying. That's right. Thank you. Okay, so if there's no more questions or comments, we'll end here. Thank you for your kind attendance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.